The application process for this available unit continues in this pattern. If you operate in this manner, you should be pretty safe with processing applications fairly and having the documentation and evidence to prove your actions. Additionally, when processing applications, use your application worksheet to keep things simple. Document everything you do with a date and timestamp. If you never disqualify an applicant, you will reduce your odds of a discrimination complaint. The simplest method to achieving this goal is to always present a challenge or hurdle to the applicant that prevents you, the application processor, from moving forward with their application. Boomerang it and put the ball in their court. You should have a friendly attitude by offering a helping hand or guidance, showing possible solutions to fixing or curing their newly discovered problem. The applicant needs to take action to correct their problem you found for them. You project an attitude of helping them by explaining to them how they can work through this obstacle. Being friendly, in your best Ward and June Cleaver voice, you will show a sincere and caring concern to help your applicants, Wally or Beaver. When you give your unqualifiable applicant a couple of big hoops to jump through with asking them for a date they can get this done, it almost always happens that they tuck their tail and run. This gives you the liability-free position of not having disqualified a person for housing. If you insist on disqualifying an applicant for whatever reason, never do it over the phone or in person. Always do it in writing so you have proper documentation. Make sure your letter is in compliance with your qualifying standards following all fair housing laws. For example, let's say a horrible applicant, Tim Smith, has no chance, zero, of renting a unit from you for reasons 1, 2, and 3. I'll telephone Tim, explaining I need a little bit of his help in working up or processing his application. Mike, is this Tim Smith?
Tim.
Yeah, this is Tim. Mike, this is Mike with Vista Properties calling about your application for the house at 123 Main Street.
Tim.
Okay. Mike. Tim, while working up your application, I see your current address is 123 Main Street, right?
Tim.
Yes. Mike. Okay, and before that you lived at Mountain View Apartments, and before that you lived with your mom and dad, right?
Tim.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, no. Now Tim has sparks blowing out his ears because he is now acting like Chris Farley in the movie Tommy Boy. Inside his head, he is probably cussing himself big time because he screwed up. Tim did not want to put Mountain View Apartments on his application because it got ugly with the landlord while he was there.
Mike, in your best Ward Cleaver voice. Well, Tim, I'm not sure if you knew this or not, but the folks at Mountain View Apartments filed an eviction notice on you. Did you know that, Tim?
Tim.
No, I got all of that worked out.
Mike.
Well, Tim, if this is wrong information, I can help you get this fixed. Do you want to get this fixed? Because the way things are right now, you are going to have a very hard time trying to rent a good place. You got an ink pen or pencil handy, Tim?
Tim.
Yeah, I got one.
Mike.
Great. Now write down this number, Tim.
C1-201-803-2271.
Okay, you got that, Tim?
Tim.
Yes, I got it.
Mike.
Tim, please read the number back to me.
He did not write it down.
Now, Tim, here's what you need to do. Keep that number. It's important, and take it with you to district court. Explain to them your situation and what's going on, and they'll help you, too. You need to get this case and number removed from your record, and then you can move forward with your application. How long will it take you to do this, Tim?
Tim.
A couple of days.
Mike.
Okay. Here's what I can do for you, Tim. Do you have my phone number here at Vista?
Tim.
Yes.
Mike.
When you get this done, give me a call right away and I can get right back on your application. But in the meantime, I'm going to have to put it on the shelf until I hear back from you. I've got to move on to the next application until you get back to me.
Tim.
Okay. I can't tell you how many times conversations have been similar to this one. Remember, the question on our rental application is how many evictions have been filed on you. This is not what Tim read. He assumed the question was, how many times have you been evicted, and he answered zero.
He also would never put Mountain View Apartments on his application because of the ugly experience there. After pulling his credit report, it was discovered we found perhaps another address and an eviction filing. At minimum, this sets the stage for false or incomplete information on his application. The simplest and easy way to never disqualify a tenant is to offer them a helping hand. Give them an out. Give them an example or course of action on their part to fix their problem. Another example could be a bad landlord reference. Do not go into detail, but explain there's a problem with their rental history and they can fix their problem with a letter from that landlord explaining their situation and how it was resolved. If they do this, it will allow you to move forward with the processing of their application. I found by implementing this into our application process, it has removed a lot of liability on our part because very few applicants actually get officially disqualified. They just get parked on the shelf until they contact us showing they've resolved their issue. Enjoy. Resources needed? Your cell phone app, ACR, all call recording. Chapter 9. Why March 31st is a wonderful day. Who started this stuff? You gotta rent your properties for 12 months or for a year. Are you in the hotel business? I'm not. I want my great residence to stay forever. Chew on this and start doing this now. From now on, all of your single-family properties, your rental agreements or leases with tenants, will be for a minimum of 36 months, with all of them expiring on March 31st after completing 36 months. For example, a new tenant moving in on December 10th will complete a lease with an anniversary date, lease expiration date, of March 31st, 3 years down the road, which would give you a 40-month lease. Don't start crying or thinking like a tenant saying nobody will do this. You're nervous and jumpy because you're not used to seeing it. Keep in mind you've been grooming your applicants and tenants for this all along with these subliminal ticklers. On your rental application, you asked, how long do you want to live here? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Odds are they already checked the 3-year box. Your Resident Rewards All-Star Plan offers rent discounts including a free month of rent upon successfully completing 36 consecutive months with no late payments and no rental agreement violations. They can only redeem their free month of rent when they renew their leases for another 3+ years. You pitched to your new tenants they have access to below market rent because you offer long-term housing, whereas other landlords usually do the short 12-month rental agreements. Sometimes tenants ask a question about an expiration date of March 31st when moving in on December 10th. You just kindly remind them, do you really want to move again right before the holidays, during the school year and in bad weather? This usually prompts a big thank you for looking out for their concern. Besides, March 31st is a better time of year. From our perspective, March 31st is the day before April 1st, not too far ahead of when school lets out for summer vacation. Many tenants do have school-aged kids. Responsible tenants usually begin their search for a new home when? When will Aunt Bee on the Andy Griffith Show begin her search for a new home to rent? How about 30 to 60 days before they want to move? What kind of tenants do you find between Halloween and January 1st? I bet there are not many responsible tenants looking to move in this period. How many tenant turnovers do you want to deal with? Ideally, you really want to almost shut down during the cold holiday winter season. If you have tenants moving out during this time, it just causes more work for you and it's just 10 times harder to find a great tenant. I like to say finding great residents like Aunt Bee is as easy as shooting ducks in a barrel. However, you want to do this when the barrel is full of ducks, not when the barrel is empty. When the barrel is empty, you can find any cream of the crap, because it is all crap. Now imagine looking at a page displaying a calendar with all 12 months. Looking at this calendar, what are the worst 2 months of the year when the barrel would be completely empty, meaning everything is crap? Your answer is November and December. Would Aunt Bee ever consider moving in these months? Heck no! She is focused on holidays, baking, and hunkering down for the winter. Then, looking at your calendar, pick the 2 months when the barrel is stuffed full of ducks. Your answer here is March and April for many, many reasons. Also, responsible families with kids begin their search a month or two before school is out for the summer. I've found this also coincides with when tenants get their tax refund checks, and it allows me the opportunity to pounce on doing rent with option to buy for extra income. It also works wonderfully well for all of our current tenants. Responsible families do not want to move during the school year. Therefore, a current, responsible tenant will be encouraged and feel very compelled to renew their rental agreement to keep from having to move in March and jerking their kids out of school. Not a 12-month lease, but another brand-new 36-month lease. There are many reasons to have your leases expire on March 31st after their third year. It just makes good sense. Remember also, with our Resident Rewards All-Star Plan, tenants can get their 37th month absolutely free, providing they sign a new 36-month rental agreement. Resources needed. Nothing needed here, just a good understanding on how this can make your life easier. Chapter 10. Your Digital Cookie-Cutter Move-In Process. Always remember to use the June and Ward Cleaver approach with your communications with all of your residents. This is your biggest tip, along with using their first name every other sentence to help you keep the right mindset. Always remember your residents cause their own problems. Never threaten them that you are going to do something ugly like file an eviction notice. Instead, gently remind them, just like Ward Cleaver would talk to Wally or the Beeve, that they will cause their own immediate eviction. This is another way to think of yourself as a person who helps them solve their problems. This is why your 11-minute rent talk video is so powerful. Now it's time to tee it up and get your approved applicant graduated to active tenant in your program. Today you can truly go 100% paperless. This is what we do in my office today. 100% paperless. Everything, absolutely everything, is done with digital paperwork and files. Just like when you go to the doctor, they have you sign on their electric pad and some will even take your photo using a webcam. Why can't you do the same? You can. Now is the time. Tools you can mix and match to go paperless if you have an office or if you meet your tenant at your rental unit, or you can do it all long distance. You get to decide how you want to go paperless. The information shared here applies to manila file folders and true hard copy paper. Now you replace those old-fashioned hard copy files by scanning them and uploading them into their proper digital folders in your computer. Everything will be digital. PDFs for documents, JPEGs for photos, audio recordings, videos, forms, and whatever else. Before your sign the papers meeting, instead of printing all of your documents on your printer, you simply print all documents to PDF. Using your tablet or smartphone, you open each PDF, and using a free smartphone or tablet application, your new resident can watch your rent talk video and initial and sign every PDF you have prepared. Once everything is signed and dated, save and upload them into your new resident contact record in your tenant tracking file. 1. Prepare a goodie bag and a package for your new tenant to keep all of their papers together. Be professional and take pride in your business. Look how many homeowners, when they attend their closing, they receive a nice Century 21 bag or a Remax bag to keep all of their important papers in. You don't have to get custom printed bags or folders. I use plain old colored paper pocket folders from Office Depot. Inside the pocket folder is a place pre-punched to insert your business card. This works just fine and costs less than a dollar. This professional attitude will carry through in many things you do in your business. Your goodie bag could contain such things as your peel-and-stick calendar, refrigerator magnet, coffee mug, welcome flyer or page, utility phone, cable, internet contact information, community packets, these are free from your local chamber of commerce or travel agents, school information, coupons and whatever else you can come up with, key tags with your logo, slogan, and website on both sides, Zip-It tool to unclog drains, a cheap plastic tool that works. 2. Have your office in-house new tenant move-in checklist in your tenant's file folder to make sure you dot your I's and cross all your T's. Use your office-only new resident move-in checklist form, free for you. 3. Once approved, your applicant must immediately pay your deposit to hold. How much? I recommend at least a dollar amount equal to 1 month of rent. Their deposit will be applied and used for the funds needed to complete the move-in process. Should your approved applicant not perform within 24 hours as noted on your rental application, then your approved applicant will forfeit their deposit and you will move on to the next application for your rental unit. 4. You can complete the move-in process without paper using your smartphone or tablet because these two devices allow you to use your finger to sign and initial documents. You prepare all of your documents for your new tenants in PDF format with fields to sign and initial where needed. You can do this face-to-face or you can do it remotely using today's technology. 5. To do your move-in process face-to-face, you can plan and schedule a 60-minute appointment for the indoctrination of your new tenant. Let them know it will take no more than 2 hours. If you get done in less time, you'll look like a hero. Tell your tenant what to bring. A. Certified check from a local bank for the amount of funds needed to sign the papers and get started. Tell them exactly how the check should be. Never take a personal check when starting a tenancy, and do your best to stay away from cash for safety reasons. B. Full year renter insurance policy paid for. If they don't have it handy, let them know you can contact their insurance agent right now to email or fax a declaration page or proof of insurance to your office. I highly recommend you try to help your own insurance agent by letting him or her have your tenant as an insurance customer. It will make your insurance agent happy, and it will help keep you in more control of the big picture. C. Every responsible party who is signing the rental agreement must be present. If two adults, both must sign and complete your starting process before they get keys. D. Security deposit. Make sure your procedure is in compliance with your local landlord-tenant law. In my town, we must have this money separate, and it also goes into a separate bank account, not an escrow account, used exclusively for security deposits. As a licensed real estate broker in my state, I'm required to have an escrow account for being a broker, and I'm required to have another bank account used exclusively for the tenant's security deposits. E. Animals. If animals are involved, they must have already completed an animal application form, complete with a mugshot and body shot photos. 6. When your tenants arrive, think of them as new employees. Don't tell them this, just think this way. How would a new employer greet you if you were a new employee? Give them a clipboard with your new resident welcome checklist. To go paperless, this form will be displayed on your smartphone, tablet, laptop, or desktop. Have your new tenant initial each step as you work through your new tenant move-in process. Your new resident welcome checklist accurately documents every step in your move-in process. It protects you. In today's world, if you have an office, you might want to consider video recording this entire session. Just use the webcam on your computer. 8. First, make every new resident and renewing resident watch your Rent Talk video. It's an 11-minute video that clearly explains how you run your business. It is used by thousands of investors, landlords, and property managers all over the world. 9. Then go over your rental agreement or lease agreement in detail, line by line. Bite your lip. You must do this to properly train your tenant like he is your new employee. I would highly recommend recording this process to document exactly what you said and vice versa. Here is the first page of my rental agreement. Refer to Figure 10 in the bonus PDF. Things to note. Annual 2.9 cost of living increase in monthly rent is clearly spelled out on the first page. The effective date and the new rent for the next 3 years. No need to worry about sending any 30-day notice of increase in rent. It's already done for you. Biweekly payments are huge. Encourage your new resident to get on your biweekly payment plan. This is not a twice a month. Big difference. You will get an extra month of rent using the biweekly payment plan. Think about it for a moment. There are 52 weeks in a year. Biweekly means every 2 weeks. This gives you 26 payments every year. 12 months in a year, now you have a 13-month year. You're welcome. It's your responsibility to train them and get them started out on the right foot. Don't get lazy on this part. Do it right. Ask them if they understand and make sure they do. Use the Welcome New Resident Checklist form to have your new resident initial each and every step involved in your move-in process. Make them initial each page. Make them sign each form properly and date them properly. Step 1. RentTalk 11-minute video is a must for every new and renewing resident. It is powerful and clearly communicates how you run your business. Think of it as new tenant orientation. Your move-in inspection must be properly completed and signed. Move-in inspection form. The purpose of the move-in inspection form is to properly document the condition of the property at the time the tenant moves in. It is intended to serve a twofold purpose. Its purpose is to protect the interest of both the landlord and the tenant. Many states require the move-in inspection to include existing damage or items in need of repair, along with the cost at the time of the needed repair. Photos are a must with your move-in inspection form. You must include good move-in photos to accurately document and prove the condition of your rental before they move in. This includes photos of anything damaged or in need of repair before they move in. Caution. Remember, in today's world, you will have a hard time trying to collect from a tenant on damages when they move out if you cannot prove their liability. For example, when you open the doors to the cabinet below the kitchen sink and you find all kinds of water damage, gunk, and funk from a leaking drain, you could have a very hard time trying to collect for this tenant-caused damage if you do not have a photo to support this area was bright and clean when they moved in. Unfortunately, many investors are lazy with their move-in inspection and photo documentation, and yet they blow a gasket when their tenant moves out, leaving many tenant-chargeable damages. Here's my let-the-dust-settle and real-world reality checks. I honestly believe no one move-in inspection form is the ultimate, absolutely perfect, landlord-safe, tenant-proof form. I believe any competent attorney who had a passion to attack the move-in inspection could attack the very best form and chew it up, causing the landlord to lose her case in court. I really and truly believe this. Remember, it's ultimately up to a judge. Therefore, if I can't really incorporate a bulletproof form, why not use the next best thing, which is the simple KISS method, a simple one-page fill-in-the-blank move-in inspection form? I admit it's not perfect. However, I used it in perhaps thousands of move-ins and move-outs, including very few involving a court, and have never been challenged on either form. Plus, those tenants who end up in collections after their tenancy with cases going to court with judgments, garnishments, and more, not once, knock on wood, has my move-in form or move-out form been challenged. If it's worked 999 times out of 1,000, I'm sticking to it. Although this is titled Move-Out Inspection, our move-in inspection form is identical. Only the title at the top is different. When a tenant moves in, we include digital photos of the property both inside and out, and there are about 9 photos to a page. We use the Windows Fax and Picture Viewer to put 9 photos on a page, and we'll handwrite the property address, the date, and allow the tenant to sign and date each page. This can be done at our office without having to travel to the property again. On the move-in inspection form, unless it's a newly renovated or rehabbed property, we mark everything good and draw a line on the left-hand column with All Good. The good boxes are checked down the left column as well, and we instruct the tenant to look the property over again, and odds are they're going to find some small things when they move in. We ask them to please call us within 7 days of the small things they discover, and we'll add them to their move-in inspection form, and we'll also send someone out to make any needed repairs we may have missed. This has worked fine for us. Ask them for their current phone numbers and congratulate them on their new home. 1. With single-family homes, we'll instruct the tenants on transferring utilities and will document our request to terminate service on our utility log. 2. Lead-based paint. Houses and residential rental property constructed before 1978 requires landlords to give tenants the EPA publication, Protect Your Family from Lead in Your Home, before they rent your property. You're also required to give them this pamphlet again if you ever do any repairs to their unit or a common area where a painted surface of more than 2 square feet may be disturbed. Not many landlords are aware of the 2 square feet requirement. 3. Rents due on the 1st. Period. 4. Animals. Use your animal addendum form to document the number and type of animals. There are 10 species of dogs forbidden because of insurance company regulations. We've been informed and have seen other landlords' property insurance get canceled when an insurance representative has found these animals on the insured property. 1. Pit bulls. 2. Rottweilers. 3. German Shepherd. 4. Husky Alaskan Malamute. 5. Doberman Pinscher. 6. Chow. 7. Great Dane. 8. St. Bernard. 9. Akita. 10. Wolf hybrids. And they continue to add more animals. Provided your tenant does not have these animals, we charge $25 per month additional rent per animal, along with a non-refundable animal fee of $100. Service animals and emotional support animals. There is a new federal law in the works to outlaw online service animal certifications. There are two websites that charge about $50 or so to fill out their form, and they will email you a service animal certification with an ID number. These are bogus. Many landlords and property managers fall victim to this scam. You must use some of your Columbo sixth sense common sense. For example, if you have an applicant who completes your animal application and it looks like a pit bull with a logging chain around its neck chained up to a tree, odds are they are trying to BS you. They will even produce a service animal certification and ID number. All of this is bogus. Here is your simple solution without disqualifying them. Tell them they must give you a copy of their renter's insurance policy where the insurance company has the animal listed as additional insured or covered. I've done this many, many times. Take a wild guess how many have produced a renter's insurance policy with the animal covered. 0. Just saying, keep moving forward. Resources needed. Rent Talk 11-minute video. New tenant orientation. Free cell phone apps allowing you to get digital signatures on all of your PDF forms. I also recommend you have some kind of welcome to your new home goodie bag. If you meet face-to-face, it could be a real goodie bag. If done remotely, all digital, you can still create a goodie bag of some sort with links for coupons, discounts, free things to help with their move, and so forth. Smartphone app Office Lens allows you to use your cell phone camera as a scanner to create PDFs of your signed documents. Smartphone app Open Camera to take photos of your new tenant and their valid photo ID. Open Camera allows you to take a lower resolution photo than Office Lens. Always get a short video from your new resident and ask them this question. Can you tell the folks what it is like to rent a home from my company? Encourage them to be upbeat, positive, and fun. Make a 30-second video recording you can use for two big reasons. 1. To put on your website. 2. To save and attach it to their tenant contact record in their tenant tracking file. This is good documentation to support they were completely satisfied when they moved in. This is important in case they change their attitude and things get ugly. Chapter 11. Transforming your rentals into tanks and cash cows. Quality of your property parallels the quality of your tenant. You can always put a bad tenant in an A-quality rental. It is almost impossible to put an A-quality tenant into a dumpster. When building your rental portfolio, you want to make them as maintenance-free and headache-free as possible, from below the foundation to the tip-top of the chimney or roof. The less maintenance, repairs, upkeep, and headaches you have, the easier it becomes for you to put your rental business on autopilot, allowing you to work smarter, not harder, and pursue your passions in life. For starters, if they are available in your town, try to acquire houses built after 1978, because this will automatically remove you and your business from all of the risks associated with lead-based paint. Unfortunately, some towns like Philadelphia, Boston, Baltimore, and so on, have most homes built back during caveman days. Next up, unless you are buying brand new rentals, try to cherry-pick newly built houses after 1978 with open floor plans, maintenance-free exteriors, and energy-efficient windows, doors, insulation, and more. Depending on your climate, utility bills can be huge, and I have seen many great tenants move because their utility bills were outrageous. Energy efficiency. Energy efficiency is critical in today's market, both for heating and for air conditioning. How can you make your rentals more energy efficient? Add more insulation in the attic and in the crawl spaces. Ensure all windows and doors are airtight. Never try to repair or replace storm windows. Replacing the entire window is your best bang for your buck. My dad loved storm windows, but they are not good today. Squirt spray foam insulation in aerosol cans to seal up underneath cover plates on light switches and electrical plug-ins. Carefully inspect the entire house for any cracks and holes where air and critters can come into or exit the house. Inspect dryers, vents, pipes, and drains underneath the kitchen and bathroom sinks and laundry hookups. You might find this shocking, but in my town, I still see many homes with zero insulation in the attics and exterior walls. Properly evaluate what method is best to heat and cool this house, along with the most efficient way to heat hot water. Prices keep dropping on tankless water heaters. They're not there yet, but I do expect to go tankless sometime in the near future. Plumbing and HVAC. Plumbing and HVAC seem to be at the top of the list of repair expenses over the year. Therefore, let's see what you can do to minimize your plumbing expenses first. Do not use the cheap $17 toilets that look like a coffee can sitting in the bathroom. Go ahead and invest a tad bit more and get a good quality high-rise toilet. It will pay for itself in short order because they can flush bricks and gravel. Yes, I'm exaggerating, just to get my point across. Faucets, both kitchen and bathroom. My good friend Chris McCarty turned me on to the Moen brand kitchen and bathroom faucets. They cost about $64 each, but the neatest thing of all about them is they all use the same easy-to-replace cartridge. There are no stems, washers, and so on. This makes for very inexpensive repairs without having to run to the hardware store to get parts. Thank you, Chris. HVAC, furnace and air conditioning. Don't swallow hook, line, and sinker on buying the most energy-efficient gold-plated system. These are okay to put in your home or in my home. But when it comes to your rentals, the biggest killer of your HVAC system is not keeping it clean and not changing the air filter monthly. Your forced air and HVAC must breathe. If it can't breathe due to a clogged-up air filter or dirty clogged-up fins in the A-coil or outside compressor unit, including heat pumps, your HVAC will not run efficiently. Not only does this cause higher utility bills, it also causes extra stress on your system, and this will cause it to blow up a lot earlier than you expected. Then you have to replace the entire system. You must teach your new tenants how to change the air filter monthly. You must instruct them on how to cut the grass next to the outside compressor unit and to keep it clean and weed-free. Get together with your HVAC company, and the simplest solution for your outside unit is to get an oversized pad. How oversized? How about a 6-inch minimum on all sides? Refer to figure 11.1 in the bonus PDF. This will allow your resident to just roll their lawnmower wheels on this pad and not have to worry about any trimming edges and so forth. Bottom line on HVAC for rentals. Install the cheapest system. Both cheap HVAC and super expensive energy efficient systems can be destroyed and ruined from a dirty air filter and or not keeping the system clean. Floor coverings. If your house has hardwood floors, refinish them. Hire a good handy person who can rent a floor sander from Home Depot, and it will cost you a bit more than carpet, but it will last longer than 3 or more carpet replacements. But, Mike, my hardwood floors have stains, cigarette burns, or patched-up pieces. You can fix these cheap. For cigarette burns or stains, after sanding, take a capful of bleach and pour it carefully onto the stain. Let it sit for a day and dry. Then move forward with staining and finishing. I used to think the same way when I saw stains, burns, and chopped-up pieces I thought totally ruined the hardwood floors. Here are some floor-covering considerations. Subflooring. You must have good, solid subflooring. If the floor is spongy or gives in a lot when you walk on it, you must install a floor covering that will work in this environment. Trying to put ceramic tile on a spongy floor is a ticket for an expensive mess because it will crack and break. Staining concrete. In Texas, I have seen many investors stain the concrete in houses built on slabs. They market their homes as allergen-free and so on. I tried it in one of my slab houses, and it did not work. Applicants said it looked like a garage floor. Keep testing. Ceramic tile. Awesome, nice, more expensive, lasts a lot longer, and requires a skilled installer. Peel-and-stick vinyl tile. one of the most popular used by mom-and-pop investors. We have used this over the years and have found to avoid the paper-thin, cheapest tiles. Get the thicker tiles and also get a can of glue to spread on the floor with a trowel before installing the tile. Always use the same vinyl tiles pattern for all of your rental units. This makes for easy, quick, and simple replacement when a tile gets damaged. Hardwood flooring. Installing brand new hardwood floors seems to have gone by the wayside unless you're updating your home or a high-dollar luxury home to retail. Vinyl planking. Vinyl planking is all the rage today. Avoid pergo because it is basically a bunch of sawdust glued together, particle board, and when it gets wet, it soaks up water and falls apart just like wet noodles. Higher quality vinyl planking has been installed in my office and looks awesome. It is very durable as well. It looks like hardwood floors. However, there is one big drawback. If a plank gets damaged, you will probably have to remove all of the flooring to get to the one damaged plank. This sucks. The good thing about the true high-quality vinyl plank flooring is it is free-floating floor. We have had below-grade apartments get flooded and the vinyl plank flooring was not damaged at all. Decent quality vinyl planking costs about $2.50 per square foot installed, not per square yard. Sheet vinyl. Sheet vinyl still has a place in today's world. Not only is the stuff cheap, about $1 per square foot, but a good installer can do a whole room in about 30 minutes. We use this only in our low-income neighborhood houses and apartments. Carpet. To get the biggest bang for your buck using carpet, it's best to avoid seams at all costs. Why? Because your carpet installers hate seams. They are time eaters and a major pain in the butt for them to install. Glue tape. Heat the carpet with the installer's iron and it takes longer. If you can make arrangements for one standalone piece of carpet in each room in your rental, your carpet installer can stop by on the way home and do four rooms, as shown in the cartoon, in just an hour or two. The shaded areas shown in Figure 11.2 in the bonus PDF could be tile. Tip. Never install carpet at the front door. Always put some kind of entry foyer-like tile or vinyl planks for folks to stomp and wipe their feet on when entering your rental house. Cabinets. I prefer using solid oak, raised panel cabinets for kitchens, bathrooms, and laundry rooms. Avoid using glued particle board cabinets. Avoid using the white cabinets, too. My favorite cabinets to use are manufactured by Sunco. These have solid oak fronts and raised panels, and they are built with real plywood, not particle board. Make sure you get them pre-finished, as they will look good for decades. Don't get the unfinished, and worse yet, do not paint them. A 36-inch kitchen sink base cabinet can be had for $184 at ebarnett.com, which was recently bought by Home Depot. Go to their website and sign up for free, and they will send you a huge, almost 3-inch thick catalog. ebarnett.com is the wholesale supplier for contractors, hardware stores, hotels, property management companies, and much, much more. Bathrooms. In older homes, just remove the old-school medicine cabinet and the light fixture above it or on the sides. Replace the medicine cabinet with a $17 mirror, 18 inches by 24 inches, from Home Depot. Then install a 3 or 4 light bar above the mirror. If the bathrooms do not have a closet, you can install an above-the-toilet cabinet with double doors, a shelf, and a towel bar built in. My good friend and investing expert, Brad Grayson, takes it one step better and says to never put this cabinet above the toilet. Install it on a wall anywhere except above the toilet. He says this removes any opportunity for something to fall out of this cabinet and end up clogging up the toilet. Great point, Brad. Garbage disposals. Not. Remove all garbage disposals in all of your rentals. They are job security for plumbers and guaranteed future expenses that are 100% totally preventable. How can you prevent this expense? Remove the garbage disposal. The name of this device, garbage disposal, actually encourages your tenants to put all of their garbage into it. Guess where all of this garbage ends up? In your drain lines. Do not waste your time trying to train your tenant on how to use a garbage disposal. When building your rental portfolio, Always make sure you target rock-solid, structurally sound properties. Not all houses are built the same in quality or workmanship. Remember the old Johnny Cash song about him bringing parts home from the Cadillac plant? Same thing applies here. Some neighborhoods in my town are well known for having very cheaply built houses that could never have passed any building codes back in the day. But they're here. It's okay to buy these and wholesale to other investors. Life is good with good, solid, almost maintenance-free rentals. Resources needed. Open accounts at your local hardware stores. Open accounts with Home Depot, Lowe's, paint stores, eBarnett. Section 3. Go 100% digital after they move in. Chapter 12. How to consistently get paid over 100% of your rents every month. This is not a typo. It's a true statement, and you can get these results too. Before starting, let's clear up the definition here so we're both on the same page. First of all, what exactly is rent? When traveling and teaching to groups, I ask, we need an honest landlord with more than 15 units. After we identify our victim for education, the honest landlord with at least 15 units, this led to slaughter in front of their peers, landlord is asked, of all the rent owed you over a 12-month period, how much do you really get? Amazingly, the majority of folks put on this hot seat answer honestly. By far, the number one answer is 85%. Asked if they're guesstimating or do they really know, they embarrassingly admit it's only a guesstimate. Keep in mind that this question deals only with rent owed over a 12-month period. It includes tenants who slow pay, don't pay, get evicted, and so forth. It does not include lost rent on vacant units. If you know how to get rent on vacant units, I'll be the first to sign up for your class. Therefore, if you have 10 units renting for $800 a month, all occupied equals $8,000 a month, over 12 months, you should get $96,000. Based on the question asked here, most investors believe they're getting 85%. This means you're getting only $81,600 of the $96,000 owed to you. $14,400 in missing income is not good for the home team. Almost a month and a half of your rents, poof, gone. Adios. Now, some good news. Let's take the same scenario of $96,000 in annual rents, but at the end of your 12 months, you've got $105,600 instead of $81,600. I'm not kidding. Not only $9,600 above what was owed you, this would be an increase of $24,000 in 12 months if you operated like most investors. The $14,400 shortage plus the $9,600 over equals $24,000 improvement in cash flow. Would you want $81,600 on the rent income line of your Schedule E? Or would you rather have $105,600? It's not a difficult choice, is it? These are not pie-in-the-sky numbers. This is an example of an investor with only 10 units renting for $800 a month. Let's nip in the bud any argument involving vacancies. If you want to argue a vacancy factor, no problem. Let's use an investor with 12 rental units at $800 a month rent and has 2 units vacant monthly. The numbers would still be the same. Got it? Failing to plan is planning to fail. Shoot from the hip seems to be the system of choice for most investors who try to focus only on benefits without effort or hassles. Although you might be guilty of micromanaging by doing everything yourself, it's really not the best for you in the long run. Starting off this way to learn the business is great, but you should have a plan to graduate. Implementing proven systems into your real estate investing business can turbocharge your results in several areas. Not only in the financial department, but proven systems can literally quadruple the quality of your life, allowing more time for yourself, family, and hobbies, and yes, more time for investing if you choose to do that. Proven systems are time savers, money makers, and good CYA programs. Here are some good solid tips to get your systems in operation. If you want excellent results, you must have good systems. If you want to quantum leap your investing results, you must learn how to work smarter, not harder. This doesn't mean become lazy. It simply means using more of the gray matter between your ears instead of using your back and arms trading hours for dollars. For example, are you painting and cleaning up property because you have time and honestly believe you're saving money? Don't feel bad if you're doing this, because I did it too when I got started. Yet a lot of it has to do with your own comfort zone. We're simply too scared to take on a big risk and honestly believe we're saving money by swinging a paintbrush or fixing stuff. Go ahead and say, easier said than done, but it's true. Look at successful investors in your town. Do you see them painting and working on properties? No. Many of them started out this way, but they quickly learned how to become business owners. Even McDonald's or your local grocery store won't turn a new hire loose without proper training. Why in the world would you turn one loose in your expensive investment? How do you treat your real estate investing? As a hobby or a business? This challenging question seems to separate the girls and boys from the women and men. Here are some of the characteristics of each. If you treat your real estate as a hobby, you're a micromanager. You're hands-on. You're involved with repairs and maintenance. You buy weird things to save money. You knock on doors to collect your rent. Worse yet, you travel to get partial payments of rent when summoned by your tenants. You allow tenants to call you at home and or on your cell phone. You go to court. God created attorneys to do this for you. You physically help with your own evictions. You show your own vacant units. You cut grass to save money. You have trouble getting to the next level because you feel so overwhelmed. You lose the desire to get to the next level because you believe your workload will only get worse. When you treat your real estate as a business, you have a business owner attitude. You're hands off and use systems. You assign or delegate repairs and maintenance. You never knock on doors for rent. You've trained your tenants to pay rent with ACH, online payments, or mail payments. Tenants never call your home or cell phone. Tenants don't know the owner. You never go to court. That's for attorneys. You never physically participate or even show up at your own evictions. You never show your own vacant units. You never cut grass. You have no trouble getting to the next level because you have time to achieve objectives. Once again, take a look at the successful investors in your town. I mean, the serious successful investor. It doesn't matter what town you're in, there's a common trait among most of these people. They act like business owners because they are. They put themselves in a position to continue networking, learning, and being close to the action. They don't go to court, paint houses, collect rent, cut grass, or help set out evicted tenants. They have systems in place to handle this for them. They also seem to have time for fun. Most have a hobby for fun. It may be golf, hunting, boating, music, or any number of things outside of real estate. They may have double, triple, or more number of properties than you, yet they seem so laid back, happy, and free of stress. I'm not promoting or encouraging you to buy more properties. I'm pointing out the importance of having your own business system. It will make your life and investing so much easier and efficient. With a good, solid, proven business system, you can easily graduate to your next level or objective because you'll have the time to focus on achieving your objective instead of cutting grass or doing repairs. Here's a no-brainer. Remember the earlier scenario of 10 units at $800 a month? Picture yourself implementing a good system to produce a $24,000 swing in your annual income from real estate. That's $2,000 a month. Here's an example of working smarter, not harder. With $2,000 extra per month, you could hire a full-time handyman at $500 a week. Or how about a 20-hour part-time handyman at $250 a week and a 20-hour part-time office manager at $250 a week? Don't do it now, just start thinking in this manner. When I started, I wanted aggressive, safe growth. My question was, how many houses would it take to pay for a 20-hour-per-week handyman? Keep in mind, Tammy and I lived off my police officer salary and her nursing salary, allowing our real estate business to grow. In the beginning, I didn't like unclogging toilets, so we hired a 20-hour-a-week part-time handyman pretty darn quick. Work smarter, not harder. Implementing good systems, especially proven systems, can offer you tremendous benefits right now and in the long haul. A good property management program educating and training tenants from day one. You must explain in detail the tenant's responsibilities and the consequences for failing to perform properly. You don't have to be a dominating dictator or an arrogant king. Remember, you play the role of a boss training a new hire employee. You explain company rules, regulations, and policies up front. It's so much easier doing the education part on the front end because on occasion you'll have a new hire, new tenant, who decides your rules and policies are just too much and they choose to move on. Wouldn't you prefer this now instead of later? Good employees can be rewarded, get birthday cards, and so on. While schooling your new hire tenant, explain the process for making monthly rent payments. Tell them right now you don't knock on doors. They must mail their payment before the 1st because rent is due on the 1st and is late on the 2nd. It doesn't cost you anything to ask a question. Shoot for the moon. If you fall short, you're not a loser, you're just a star. Stop squawking. Imagine a tenant blasting you over your late charge and your daily late charges. This sets the stage for you to be a nice guy. You politely and professionally remind your tenant of their big tutorial session explaining the rules when they came on board. However, just this one time, you might void the daily late charges to show them you're a nice guy, making them feel better. Now the tenant thinks they've won, and you're a fair person. However, you've still got your 10% late charge nailed down tight. Consider your daily late charges gravy or icing on the cake. It's your first line of defense to protect your 10% late charge. If you're thinking this is difficult, you need a bit more training yourself. Remind yourself, business owner is your role. Well-trained tenants frequently mail in their rent along with the 10% late fee before they receive their late notice. This will really make you feel good about your system because it's proof that it's working. There's a lot more than late charges to get 110% of your rent. In fact, late charges are only 1.3% of our income received. Where does the rest come from? Investors have boatloads of money falling through their fingers they can't even see. For example, how many times has this happened to you? You've scheduled an appointment for a repair, and your service person phones you reporting nobody is home. What do you do? Do you phone your tenant and accept some lame excuse like, "I forgot"? This is their fault. Train your tenants to abide by the rules of your system. If this happens, charge them $85 for a missed repair appointment and stick to it. Do not void this charge. If you void this charge, you just enabled and trained your tenant that it's okay to behave this way. Document tenant chargeable repairs and have them sign your work order form acknowledging the same. Now you have written documentation, evidence to support your claim of a tenant chargeable repair such as a ham hock bone in the toilet when the tenant dumped their bean soup in your toilet. A true story. Another powerful source of extra income for you is implementing a good, solid move-out inspection process without having to worry about receipts, labor costs, and material costs. Set up a program giving every tenant the same set of instructions and a price list for failing to follow your instructions. For example, you can charge $6 for a light bulb. There were light bulbs when they moved in, and you expect working light bulbs when they move out. Your tenant may scream, "But I can get 4 light bulbs at Walgreens for only 99 cents. Your answer is, "That's my point. We want you to go to Walgreens and get those light bulbs because we haven't found anybody who'll go to Walgreens for free and buy those 99-cent light bulbs. We have to pay somebody almost $20 an hour to go to Walgreens to buy a light bulb, and it costs more than $6 for a bulb to do this. So please don't take one light bulb. Take all of them." Most landlords who treat their real estate as a hobby dread the move-out process and tenant turnover. They assume if the tenant challenges their move-out charges by going to court, they must gather all their receipts and still expect they're going to lose in court. They have no system. Plus, the hobbyist does his own repairs and cleanup. They don't get a receipt for their own labor. How insulting when standing in front of a judge and they order you to return all the security deposit back to your tenant, and worse yet, accepting only the receipts documenting cash out of your pocket expenses with absolute zero worth to your time, effort, and labor. Here's a partial list of items used in tenant tracking to assist you in getting 110% or more of your rents. You can change prices, too. keys. One for $10 or two for $15. Believe it or not, most buy two keys. Deadbolts keyed the same as their knobbed set lock, allowing one key to fit all of the doors on their home. Only $45 each. Yes, they buy these too during the move-in process. We simply play musical locks. Filling out forms fee, $15. Banks do it for you. Missed work order appointments, $85. Late fee, 10% of monthly rent. Daily late fee, $5 per day. Payment plans for tenant chargeable repairs. Dirty air filter in SFH, $25. Missing air filter in SFH, $35. Any code enforcement or fines. Charge tenant 125% of each fine that is their fault. Elite lawn care service. One-hit wonder lawn care cut. Cleaning gutters. Just cipher up at $35 an hour. Here are fees associated with the move-out process. Re-rental charge, breaking lease, 1.5% of a month's rent. Electric off, $75. Water off, $75. Floor tile, $5 each. Cracked window glass, $80. Storm door chain, $15. Storm door pneumatic closure, $35. Electric cover plate, $2. Car in yard, $200. Trash piled, $200 pickup truckload. Smoke alarm, $25. Air filter, $30. Cleaning windows, $10 each. Deadbolt locks, $45. Payment plans and more payment plans. A good proven system is your foundation to implementing an efficient business operation for your real estate. It will allow you to have a business owner perspective. Used properly, you'll increase cash flow because you'll stay focused on the performance of your forest instead of one tree or bush. Plus, dozens and dozens that are legal and allowed in your state and town. Payment plans and payment plan form. You can use this in several ways. 1. Work orders, repairs, maintenance request. Tenant chargeable repairs while living in your rental. If the repair cost more than your great resident can pay in one lump sum, set them up on a win-win situation with a very affordable monthly payment. 2. After they move out and still owe you money. Many will have a balance owed to you that is impossible for them to write a check for. When this happens, set them up on a payment plan and you can finance the balance for them. Let me tell you about this powerful little tip. Tenants tear up stuff. Things get broken, and these should be tenant chargeable repairs. What about those charges accrued during the move-out process? If a tenant owes you money, most landlords play ostrich. The payment plan is pretty easy. It can be as simple as having your tenant scribble, "I promise to pay your company $25 monthly for the next 15 months," and have them sign it and date it. It's my understanding this little, simple, scribbled message becomes a promissory note to you or your company. Suppose a tenant owes you $600. You could set up one of several payment plans. Plan A, pay $100 per month for the next 8 months. Plan B, pay $50 per month for the next 16 months. Plan C, pay $25 per month for the next 35 months. You are financing the debt they owe you. There's nothing wrong with charging interest. Pawn shops do it every day, so don't beat yourself up over this. Wouldn't you really rather get $25 a month for a long time versus trying to jump up and down screaming to get $600 now from a tenant who doesn't have it and never will? True story. I'm still getting $44.53 every month from a tenant who moved out of the property over 4 years ago. Talk about helping me get over 100% of my rents. I still send a monthly bill to this former tenant for his $44.53 he owes every month. Tip. With everything I was juggling back when I got started, I discovered the hard way my quality of life improved a bunch when I hired a woman to be my part-time resident manager. She or he could even work from their home. You do not have to think about the added expense of hiring a part-time person. What you will discover is your part-time person will do this job 10 times better than you, and they will produce more income for your business. With a good person driving your rentals for you, the late charges alone will pay you a lot more than what you are paying your part-time help. Years ago, I pushed a button to see how much late charge income was received for the previous year. Amazingly, my report showed we received over $70,000 in late charges and daily late charges. This covered not only the cost of my full-time office manager, but it also covered the cost of my full-time maintenance supervisor. Wow! I promise you, I could have never achieved this with me trying to do everything myself. Resources needed. To go paperless and run everything from your smartphone, tablet, or tabletop, you will need TeamViewer.com.